to see you today. I thought I saw Stephen. There he is. Hi, Steve. So many of you visitors, we're glad you're here. If you look right over here with this woman in the green dress, she sure is happy sitting by another lady there with the red dress. Well, that happens to be my daughter, and Tabitha, and her, and Mark, and MJ, and there's my son, and I'm tickled to death that he's, and look at my beautiful granddaughter there. How about that, Krista, and Adeline, and Hudson, my great-grandchildren. Now, Shirley, I know you're tickled to death to look back there at somebody, but I'm happy as a lark, aren't y'all? Thrilled to death that you're here, and we're glad everybody's here. I wish you had time to call everybody's name, let you know how grateful we are. Boy, didn't we have a vacation Bible school. But elders, please, 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 if you ever put me in the line, don't put me on Friday night again. You know Friday night's the lowest number. And here's an old preacher and going to have to do everything you possibly can. The lowest number we had was Friday night. Bless your heart. Boy, boy, didn't we have some good ones. I know, Al, you told us on Thursday night he was nervous. Well, I've been nervous all day, I think, today. Oh, we just so glad you're here. Thank you for coming. Today is Father's Day. God has so much to say about fathers. What a joy it is. They're number one. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Whenever you want to know something, one thing is right, then all you got to do is go to the Word of the Lord, the truth. John 8, verse 32, you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. John 17, 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. I've said over and over and over, some people live a long time upon this earth because of the way they've treated their parents. That's with the promise that is made. And then he says, and you fathers. All right, dads, let's talk to us today. You fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Ah, we need that. Provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Over in Colossians 3, verse 21. Provoke not your children to wrath. How many of us, though, have been... I was. These two children out of here today, they probably got really upset sometimes the way that I acted. I've asked them to forgive me. I don't want that to happen. I want them to have a good memory. Whatever I did when I was still younger, I just don't want that to be held against me. So I've asked them to forgive me. And then I don't want my children to be discouraged because of what I've said, because of what I've done. In his letters to Ephesians and Colossae, Paul instructs fathers of their responsibility. Ephesians 6, 4, Colossians 3, 21. The word provoke to anger is a single word which means rouse someone to anger, causing them to be discouraged. No wonder God said, don't do that. Don't do that. Fathers, don't do that with your children. Ah, but most of us realize how important it is for us to do what's right with our children. Two or three points in the lesson to be yours this morning. I wanted something funny for Hudson, if he came. And I hope that he will appreciate a couple of these things. I hope you don't mind me using just a teacher on the phone. You say, Michael has a cold and can't come to school today. To whom am I speaking? And Michael said, this is my father. Did you get it? I thought that was cute. All right. Johnny's father, let me see your report card. Johnny, I don't have it. Johnny's father, why not? My friend just borrowed it. He wants to scare his parents. I thought that was pretty good. All right, here's another. Dad, are bugs good to eat? Asked the boy. Ah. Then look what he says. Let's not talk about such things at the table, son. I thought that was so cute. After dinner, the father inquired and said, now, son, what did you want to ask? Oh, nothing, the boy said. There was a bug in your soup, but now it's gone. I thought that was... Isn't that something? A small boy was at the zoo with his father, and they were looking at the tigers, and his father was telling him how ferocious they were. Daddy, if the tigers got out and ate you up, Yes, son. The father said, ready to console him, which bus should I take home? Here's another one. What does your father do for a living? Well, he's a magician. He performs tricks like sawing people in half. Do you have any brothers and sisters? Yep, four half-sisters and a half-brother. But here's the funniest one of all, I thought. Four men are in the hospital waiting room because their wives are having babies. Oh, what an exciting thing, isn't it? A nurse goes up to the first guy and says, congratulations, you're the father of twins. Everybody, how many of you got twins in here? No, got a bunch of them. And then he goes on to say, hey, that's odd because I work for the Minnesota Twins. And then nurse came out to the second guy, congratulations, you're the father of triplets. Wow, that's really something. That's weird, answered the second man. I work for 3M Company. Where you work? These others are beginning to ask. A nurse tells the third man, congratulations, you're the father of quadruplets. Four? I said, that's really strange because I work for Four Seasons Hotel. But there was another guy waiting for him to come out and talk to him. He's grown. He's begging. He's banging his head against the wall. What's wrong? The others asked. I work for 7-Up. Oh, boy. Wonderful, wonderful. Now, three or four points and the lesson will be yours. We can provoke our children anger and discouragement when we live with hypocrisy. Don't be a hypocrite. Instead of authenticity. When we hold ourselves to one standard, but we hold them to another. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 5, it was David who said to Nathan, I have sinned. After Nathan told him he was the man. In Matthew 5, 16, let your light so shine before your Father which is in heaven. One thing I learned in studying this one, you know, sometimes you tell people, fathers will tell their children, now, you do what I tell you. How many of you fathers ever told your children, do what I say and do what I do? You want them to do like you? Be imitators of me as I am of Christ, Paul said in 1 Corinthians. Doubt instead of confidence, give them confidence. We can provoke our children when we live in great doubt instead of great confidence, God's desire to save them. We want them to know that they are very precious, and fathers, let them know that. There are all sorts of good things we want for our children, but nothing more than for them to go to heaven. Brother Mitchell from the congregation over in Sheffield, I used to preach over there for a number of years. He had 7 children, and one thing he always said, I want to take a vacation, and I want to go to heaven. I want my children to go with me because I want them to be there too. Every one of us are like that. When we die, we want them to live so that they may die and be with God. You know, we have got to be so careful in doing everything we possibly can to encourage our children. The gospel is the means of bringing about the salvation of any one of us. And that's what we've got to keep preaching. Fear instead of boldness. We may provoke our children when we raise them in fear instead of boldness. It's wise parenting to protect our children by holding back evil influences until they have developed and matured. But let me tell you something. You can't shelter them from everything that is wrong. Even our Lord Jesus Christ prayed to God, I do not pray that you take my disciples out of the world, but that they do what? That they may be lights in the world, shining. And therefore, I've given them your word, and the world has hated them. For they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Why would God tell you, don't love the world if he's going to take you out of it? 1 John chapter 2, 15 through 17. Why would God say, don't conform yourself to the world, but be you transformed by renewing mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12, verse 2. And Paul tells you where to put your mind. Set your affections on things that are above, not on things that are upon the earth. And then you've got the problem of provoking anger instead of patience. If we raise them with anger instead of patience, what's going to happen? They're going to do like we do. They're going to get angry. Why? We need to do everything we possibly can to show them the words that they should speak, how they are to be corrected, what they see in you. What do you want them to see in you? But one thing I want you fathers to remember, please remember, don't provoke your children to wrath by being away from them, not involved with them. Let them do what you want them to do with you. Had an example one time of a father, he's reading this paper and his son runs up to him, so he gives his son a quarter. That was a lot back then, Charlie, but it's not a lot today, is it? They wouldn't want a quarter. I don't think MJ would care about that quarter. I think what he would like to have maybe is that $5 bill or something. Anyway, a little while the little boy came back, he wanted another quarter. He wanted something else. No. He came back, I don't know, several times, and finally when he came back, he just took his hand like this and smashed it in the paper. And the dad said to him, now, why did you do that? What do you want? Buzz, listen to me. We're getting old, haven't we? Got a lot of grandchildren. He didn't have one when I first came here. And you know what that little boy was saying? Daddy, all I want is you. I don't want the quarter. I don't want another quarter. Daddy, all I want is you. Tim, I apologize. You and Tabitha, there are so many times that I'm sure that's what you wanted with me, and I didn't give it to you. Fathers, don't do that. Don't. When they want you. I know you're so busy. Us grandfathers are so busy. Take them to Wendy's after 4 o'clock and get a kid's meal. My grandson and I, if we have 30 minutes, guess where? They've had a fireplace in the summertime and it's home. And I was so busy yesterday and I just thought I can't possibly. But MJ wanted to go and I wanted to go too because he was with me. And we went over to Wendy's after, but we changed the menu. Cost me a lot more yesterday than it usually does. But we enjoyed it. Ah. Be humble. What does it take to get all of us old men, middle-aged men? What does it take to get all of us in this building when you make a mistake? Will you admit it? And if you made a mistake with your children, it's time for you to get around and say, I was wrong. Please forgive me. Because you see, my friends, pride is so ugly. And what a contrast with the beauty of humility. I know one time I whipped Tim. And I whipped him, and he may even remember this. I guess he will never forget things like that. I whipped him for something that I thought he'd done. Tommy, did you ever do that with your kids? Don't answer that, okay? They can tell me. Anyway, I really thought that he was the one that had done what I was whipping him for. And I whipped him, and I whipped him good. And you know what? In a little while, his mother came in and said, why did you whip Tim? And I told her. And she said, honey, he didn't do that. I did that. Wow, I'm not going to whip her. What am I going to do? He's back in his bedroom. He's sleeping. I mean, he's crying. You know what I did? I went right back to the bedroom. And I said, Tim, I whipped you for something that your mother said you didn't do. I thought you did. I was wrong. Please forgive me. Tim, I never forget what you did. It brings tears to my eyes today. He took his arm like this and hugged me. He said, that's all right, Dad. I got by with a lot when I should have gotten it anyway. Oh, fathers, you are so precious to those children. Grandfathers, yes, there's so much in the Bible that God emphasizes. When you know that you've done something wrong, then make sure that you, especially with your children, admit it, ask their forgiveness. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Don't let them get so discouraged they can't ever please you. I preached the funeral, as I plan to do in just a little while here at the building. Ms. Jones had passed away, and I used the passage in the book of John, your sorrow shall be turned into joy. At the cemetery, Eileen Smith, the daughter, came to me. She looked at me and she said, Brother Guy, my sorrow's been turned to joy today. Here she is with her mother's funeral. She said, my sorrow's been turned into joy because my brothers and sisters who haven't spoken to one another for 15 years have spoken to each other. What does it take to get people to wake up? Yes, children doing something that hurts their parents, and they do that too. I remember one that the dad had a heart attack. The son and him had some words. Before the son got to the hospital, his daddy died. A daughter who was not able to see her or didn't go see her mother. Why? Because her husband didn't want her to. After he died, she did. And things were worked out. My dad, shortly before he passed away, he and this man at church, they had words with each other. What do you do at church? When somebody's upset with you and you've been upset with them, I hope you do like my dad did. Go to them. He did everything he possibly could to rectify them. This man, though, was stubborn. He didn't want any reunion together, hardly. My dad had 3 months. He'd had surgery, brain surgery. It was cancerous. That man never came before my daddy died. All I'm telling you is this. Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow. We'll go into a certain city and we'll continue there a year. Buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then it's gone. It's gone. Fathers, grandfathers, and yes, mothers, you're special to God, and you're special to those children and grandchildren because of your relationship with them. It's time for, it's just got to be that there's anything hurt and then we can get it corrected, that we're willing to do it. I'd almost give anything I could just see Dad one more time. I got an email this morning, rather a text, from Mark, my son-in-law. And he said, Happy Father's Day. You know what he added to that? My, I couldn't believe it. He said, I love you. I love you. I've got texts from Tim and Tabitha and my children. And so many of them, they're in that file where I got Lillian's, but she's done giving to me before. Where I've got Katie Lee and little notes and all of Choi's notes that he makes of sermons. And he never gets the number of the scriptures right. But anyway, I love him just so much. I want to ask you this morning, are you ready to meet God in your condition? Fathers, what in the world? I close by reminding you of a story that I heard some years ago. Used to live in Cleveland, Ohio. Boy, when the snow came, guess what? People in this congregation, some of you are telling me you'd rather have snow than to be sunshine. Boy, what's wrong with you? I love sunshine. I like hot weather. Sweating all, but it does get a little bit hot. I realize that. I got to ask you, everybody, father, mother, anyone, if your children take the exact footsteps that you are taking, where will it lead them? Up north, a dad gone down to the barn. It snowed. And the little boy, maybe just 4 or 5 years of age, hollered at him and said, "Daddy, wait a minute." And his daddy looked back. And he saw his little boy. And he was trying to take every step that his daddy had taken. I ask you, will the steps that you and I have taken, will that lead them home? If you're not a Christian, become one right now by hearing the Word, believing it, confessing Christ, and by repenting and confessing and being baptized. And let's everybody wake up. Let's do all we can to mend the fences that have been broken. And let us do what we possibly can to praise God and live right. So when it's our time for a funeral, it'll only be a time of rejoicing for a family who loved them so much, but they know they've gone home. If you're subject anyway to the invitation of Jesus, won't you come and obey Him while together we stand?